precious song, Your Presence for Christmas. What a great, great thing. I want you to take the Word of God and join with me in Genesis chapter 3. Genesis chapter 3. We've sure had a wonderful morning. If you're not in the Christmas spirit by now, well, I just don't know if it's going to happen for you. Maybe better luck next year, but I'm in the Christmas spirit. I'm feeling it and ready to celebrate the birth of Jesus Christ. Very excited about it. I'm excited. I got word this morning that Savannah and Bryce are now on the plane headed this way. They'll be here tomorrow. And my mother and father-in-law are arriving from Florida tomorrow night. Got a lot to look forward to. One of the best parts of the holiday season is the reunion of family that come together to get to spend that sweet time, that rare and precious time. Don't get to see each other as much, so we're going to just eat it up and enjoy the fire out of it. Genesis chapter 3, who's there? Say amen.
Amen.
Who needs more time? Raise your hand. It's in the first part of it. Derek, it's in the front part of your Bible. It's in the Old Testament, all right? I saw you looking over in the New Testament. You're not going to find it there. Go to the very front. First book of the Bible, the book of Genesis, where it all started. There you go. You'll find it. All right. Genesis chapter 3. Let's pick it up there in verse number 6. It says, and when the woman saw that the tree was good for food and that it was pleasant to the eyes and a tree to be desired to make one wise, she took of the fruit thereof and did eat. And gave also unto her husband with her, and he did eat. And the eyes of them both were opened, and they knew that they were naked. And they sewed fig leaves together and made themselves aprons. And they heard the voice of the Lord God walking in the garden in the cool of the day. And Adam and his wife hid themselves from the presence of the Lord God amongst the trees of the garden. And the Lord God called unto Adam and said unto him, Where art thou? And he said, I heard thy voice in the garden, and I was afraid, because I was naked, and I hid myself. And he said, Who told thee that thou wast naked? Hast thou eaten of the tree whereof I commanded thee that thou shouldest not eat? And the man said, The woman whom thou gavest to be with me, she gave me of the tree, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the woman, What is this that thou hast done? And the woman said, The serpent beguiled me, and I did eat. And the Lord God said unto the serpent, Because thou hast done this, thou art cursed above all cattle, and above every beast of the field. Upon thy belly shalt thou go, and dust shalt thou eat all the days of thy life. And I will put enmity between thee and the woman, and between thy seed and her seed, it shall bruise thy head, and thou shalt bruise his heel. Unto the woman he said, I will greatly multiply thy sorrow and thy conception. In sorrow thou shalt bring forth children, and thy desire shall be to thy husband, and he shall rule over thee. And unto Adam he said, Because thou hast hearkened unto the voice of thy wife, and hast eaten of the tree of which I commanded thee, saying, Thou shalt not eat of it, cursed is the ground for thy sake. In sorrow shalt thou eat of it all the days of thy life. Thorns also and thistles shall it bring forth to thee, and thou shalt eat the herb of the field. In the sweat of thy face shalt thou eat bread, till thou return unto the ground. For out of it wast thou taken, for dust thou art, and unto dust shalt thou return. Let's pray. Dear Father, we come to you on this beautiful December morning. It's a special time for us because, Lord, by choice, by freedom, through freedom, not under the obedience to a command, but driven by a heart of gratitude, we will take time to celebrate that Jesus was born and given to this world to be a Savior. And Lord, I pray that you'll look down upon us and accept this feeble gift of appreciation. Lord, there'll be other things that will be surrounding it, things that we do for pleasure and for joy and things that we do down here to have fun with, but Lord, the heart of it, the motivation for it, the reason for it, is that we know that you took the seed of Eve and gave to us a child that would one day be the propitiation for our sins. Now, Lord, I pray that everybody can come to a place this morning of focus and steadiness and stillness, and that they'll give me their ears for just a few moments. I do not have much time, and I'm aware of the time. So, Lord, I do want to give them something from the Word, but I also know that our time is coming to an end quickly. But I pray that people will stay focused and hear what the Word of God has for them this morning. And Lord, if there be anybody here today that doesn't know you as their Savior, Lord, it is our great prayer this morning that they would receive that wonderful gift that was sang about over and over this morning, that gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that today could be the day. We ask all this in the name of Jesus. Amen. In the book of Genesis, we see the beginning of mankind. We see the Lord as he spoke all that is into creation. On the sixth day, the Bible tells us that he took the dust of the ground and hand-fashioned his most beloved of all of his creation. Out of that dust, he breathed life into it, and he created a man. And he called that man Adam. And this was the start of all humanity. He placed Adam in a garden, a place that was full of the goodness and the greatness of God. All around Adam were examples that God loved him. Everywhere he looked, he saw the fact that God cared for him. And he saw the greatest of all of God's creative ability in the creation in that garden. All the world was created by God, but he put Adam in a very special place. He placed him in that garden. And in that garden, God enjoyed fellowship with Adam and also the fellowship with Eve, the wife that God in his great wisdom would fashion for Adam. The Bible says that in the cool of the evening, they would rendezvous and walk together in the cool of the afternoon. And God enjoyed the worship that came from this creation, humanity, man. And he enjoyed the fact that this worship and this praise, this fellowship, was yielded up out of a free will. That it was not something that was done where they had no choice, but in their choice, they chose to walk with God. They chose to love God. They chose to fellowship with God. And it brought him great pleasure to see them give this to him out of their free will. But one day, the Father appeared in the garden where he usually met Adam and Eve. And the Bible says they were absent from their usual rendezvous place. The Bible says that God called out to them, and then sadness would fill his heart as he quickly saw that sin had eroded their innocence and entered into their heart. He knew now that they would be contaminated with the iniquity that would one day bring their death. And as the story unfolded, God reminded them of his promise that they would die if they ate of this forbidden fruit. And we see in the scriptures that we just read where God passed judgment upon them. He told them that now their life would have thorns and thistles, when before there were roses and fruits. It'd be hardships. But then in the end, he said, from dust thou came from, and dust you're going to return to. And there we see God as he fulfills the judgment that he had previously warned Adam would come upon him if he ate of that forbidden tree. But then we see in Genesis 3 as well, the act of salvation that God would present, that this act of salvation would bruise the Savior's head, the Savior's heel, but it would crush the serpent's head. This means that in the act of saving man, Jesus would be wounded, but that Satan would be destroyed. He would be disarmed, and one day he would be subdued forever. Now, in Isaiah 9, verse 6, the Bible yields this information. We see a mention again of the seed of Eve. In Isaiah 9, verse 6, it says, "For unto us a child is born, unto us a son is given, and the government shall be upon his shoulder, and his name shall be called Wonderful, Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace." We would see this prophecy that one day the seed of Eve would yield a Savior, a Messiah. And then we go to Luke chapter 2, which I've already read this morning, and I'm not going to be able to take the time to read it in its entirety, but just to allude to it. In Luke 2, we see the prophecy fulfilled. So we see in Genesis where he says, "You're in a mess, but I've got a solution. And Eve, your seed is going to produce a Savior." Then we see it mentioned again by the prophet Isaiah that a child would be born. I've heard this said, and I agree with it. What a wonderful saying. There have been many babies that have been born that grew up to be kings, but there's only been one king who became a baby. And we see that Jesus left his throne in heaven, the third part of the Godhead, and he came down to be born in the flesh, to become a man and to live among mortal men. And in Luke 2, we saw that prophecy spoken of by the prophet, spoken of by God. We see the recording in Luke 2, and there's other places, but we read Luke 2 this morning, we saw that prophecy fulfilled. We saw that just as God promised, the Word became flesh and dwelt among man. That baby, that child would be Jesus. Jesus Christ of Nazareth. This week, the whole world will recognize and rejoice in the fact that a baby was born in Bethlehem. That baby would forever change the world and the eternal destiny of mankind. Now, I don't know if Jesus was born on December the 25th. A question I'm regularly asked, was Jesus born on December 25th? Is that really a fact? I don't know. I don't know if they got the calendar year right at all. I don't know if it was 1 AD. There are people that say that maybe it was 5 years earlier and that the calendar is a little off. And I hear all these debates and these talks and these theological discussions, and people ask me, and I give them my college-given education on the subject and my studies, what those have led me to, and I give them those answers. But the truth is, I don't know if he was born in 1 AD or on December the 25th. But one thing I do know for sure, without any shadow of a doubt, Jesus Christ was born in a manger in Bethlehem. He grew up, and he died on a cross for our sins. Now, that I do know for sure. That I can take to the bank. All the other stuff, we can debate about it. But what we do know is that the prophecy that a baby would be born of a virgin and that this baby would grow up to be sinless and die for the sake of man, that this baby would be God made into the flesh, we see that it was told that it would happen, and the Bible records that it did happen. His name, the Bible says, would be Jesus. He would be called Emmanuel, God with us. He would be known as the Savior, the Prince of Peace, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Alpha, the Omega, the beginning and the end, the Lamb that was slain yet liveth, the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords, the sweet rose of Sharon, the Lion of the tribe of Judah, the Everlasting Father, the Deliverer, the coming Redeemer of man. I want to proclaim to you today that we can rejoice. And this week we can celebrate and we can shout And we can praise the heavens and have a heart full of joy. And I'll tell you why. Because a baby was born. Because a baby was born, we can sing, "How great is our God." We can sing the lyrics to "How great thou art." We can sing, "Glory, I'm saved. Glory, I'm saved. My sins are forgiven and my grief is all gone." Why? Because a baby was born. Because a baby was born, we can sing, "I'm forgiven. And now I have a reason for living. Jesus just keeps on giving. And he gives until my heart overflows." And we can shout the song when we all get to heaven. What a day, glorious day that will be. Because a baby was born, we can have hope of forgiveness. Because a baby was born, we can have hope that we can receive grace. And because that prophecy was fulfilled, we can understand that there's been peace made between God and man, because that baby paid the cost that you and I could have never paid. Oh, listen to me. Because a baby was born, we can be set free from the bondage of our sins. Because a baby was born, we can find comfort in the blessed hope of heaven when this life is over. And we can find the joy of the anticipation that one day, maybe, through the grace of God and the faith in God, because that baby was born, one day we'll be able to stand in glory in a reunion with our loved ones that have gone before us. Because a baby was born, we can have the joy of the anticipation as we look to the skies. And we wonder as we celebrate every new year, will this be the year that the shout happens and the trumpet sounds and the clouds roll back? The Bible says that there'll be a day that every knee will bow and every tongue will confess that he is Lord. And we have the anticipation of these things that we know one day will come to pass. We have the idea that in God's grace, there may be a generation that escapes death, that is called up to be with the Lord, never tasting the grave, never tasting the dark, chilly hand of death. And we pray for that and we long for that because a baby was born. Because a baby was born, we can find comfort in the blessed hope of heaven. Because that baby is born, you and I are princes in the royal family of heaven. And one day we're going to shed this mortal humanity for an immortal sainthood. And we can sing and shout and stand in hope. Because one day, a long time ago, in a little town, little humble town called Bethlehem, a baby was born. I'm saying that this week is cause to celebrate and to proclaim to the world that we believe that unto us a child was given. How many of you believe it this morning? Amen. Do you believe it? Do you really believe it? Do you believe that God left heaven and was born of a virgin? That the Word became flesh and dwelt among us? Oh, we can celebrate, and by our celebrating, we proclaim that we believe that that baby that was born, that baby called Jesus, is the Messiah. And if that baby had not come from a virgin on that first Christmas morning, we would all be in bad shape. But praise be to God, a baby was born. And God wants to give you the greatest present in the world that this baby that was born purchased for mankind. And that greatest present that God has for you is this: forgiveness. Forgiveness. We all need it. We all fell into the same trap of iniquity that Adam and Eve fell into. We all need the same amount of grace. The same grace that saved others is the same grace that would save you. And you don't have to claim it. You don't have to claim this gift. But I want you to know that God is offering this gift to you. In closing, I'm reminded of an event that we held when I pastored in Orlando. It was called the Angel Tree Christmas. Each year, people would give in a love offering, and we would receive a list of names from children who either one or both of their parents were incarcerated. A lot of these kids would have a very lean Christmas in the situations they were in. And our people would draw names of these children, and we would have a little thing that Angel Tree, which was a ministry that worked with the prisons, would yield to us, and we'd have a certain number of names. We would make things and hang it in the lobby on the Christmas tree, little cards with their names on it, and our church family would come by and take those cards, and on the back it had certain things and clothing sizes and all the things that would be needed to buy a gift. And our people would then go purchase these gifts, and they would, you know, wrap it. And then we'd have a big night where we'd have a dinner on a Sunday night, and these children and families that would bring them would come, and then we'd have a little service, and then at the end we would present each of these children these gifts that were bought for them. There was always a Bible purchased for every child. There was always a toy purchased for every child, and there was always an article of clothing. It might be a hoodie-type jacket, or it might be a shirt, or something of that nature, something that they had wanted. It was on the back of the cards. Well, it was always a big night. Kids would come, and man, we loved it as a church, watching the eyes light up, those little kids coming across. We'd hand them that stack of gifts, and they'd sit down in their chairs, and they'd open those up. We would enjoy it. As a church family, it was a very much anticipated thing. But, you know, there was a year where a stack of gifts that one of our church family members went back to that tree, took a name off of it, looked on it, saw the name and all the things, and they went out and purchased and wrapped and brought for us to present for this one certain young boy. I noticed about 3 weeks after the event was over, those gifts were sitting in the church office. Time passed. We ended up sticking them in a closet. When I got ready to move from that church to become your pastor almost 6 years ago, I was cleaning out the office. I had some things in the storage. I was going through there, and guess what I found tucked away? I found those gifts. The boy's name still hanging on it. Brother Rich, the people purchased and they brought it, but he didn't show up to claim it. And it went unclaimed. It just sat in a dark back storage room, forgotten, eventually dust covered. Eventually the wrapping paper became tattered and ripped and faded. The gift was bought and it was offered, but he did not claim it. Beloved, Jesus did what he said he would do. He was born in a manger. He grew up and he fought the temptation to sin. And then it ends with him carrying that brutal cross and then eventually being nailed to it. And he endured all that. And when he did that, he bought the gift. Third morning, he resurrected and ascended into heaven soon after that. But we see that Jesus kept his end of the deal. He paid the cost of the gift. And now the gift is being offered. Let me ask you this. Is it going unclaimed in your life? Have you claimed the gift of salvation? I want you to bow your heads this morning. I wonder this morning, is there anybody that could say, "Preacher, I remember the day I claimed that gift and I claimed Jesus as my Savior. I remember the day that he came into my heart and I'm not ashamed of it." Would you just slip your hand up with me this morning, testifying that I believe that a baby was born and that that baby saved my soul? Oh, you may lower your hands. Thank God a baby was born. Thank God that the story doesn't go where we're still waiting on him. Thank God that Luke 2 is in the Bible, where we see that man was in a mess, but a baby was born that changed everything. And man was destined to hell, but a baby was born that now made it possible for us to go to heaven. Where there was no hope, a baby was born that brought us hope and peace with God and joy that we can hold in our heart. And the gift is forgiveness. God wants to forgive you, and it's a free gift. The Bible says, "For the wages of sin is death, but the gift of God is eternal life through Jesus Christ our Lord." God has a gift for you. Is there anyone that could say, preacher, I haven't claimed that gift. It's sitting there unclaimed, and I want to claim it today. I want to claim it today. Today is the day that I want to ask Jesus into my heart and claim that gift of salvation that he's offering to me. I don't want it to go unclaimed. I want to claim it. I want you to think about that a minute. Think about it. Have you claimed it? That baby was born so you could be free. Are you free? If you say, preacher, today I want to claim this gift, would you just slip your hand up so I could pray for you? Preacher, I want to claim the gift. Amen. In a moment, I'm going to ask you to stand, and I'll be standing right here. Perhaps today you would like to come up to me. We can help you claim this gift. We can show you in the Bible how to claim it. It'll be the greatest decision you've ever made. 1,000 years will dawn, and you'll just be getting used to heaven. You'll praise God forevermore for that gift. Don't let it go unclaimed. Dear Father, in a moment I'm going to ask the church family to stand. When I do, the altars are going to be opened. Lord, maybe it's appropriate this morning that we come and just bend our knees and do nothing more but just praise you for the baby that was born, for the way it all happened, the humility of it, the humbleness of it. Lord, I find it hard to understand how you could leave heaven and go through all of that. And why you did it to redeem us. You created us out of dust. Somehow you loved us above all. Lord, I think of the famous verse in the Bible, for God so loved the whole world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. I know the verse, but I have a hard time comprehending it. Don't really understand how you could love dust. Something that, Lord, I don't get it. I just, Lord, I know this, though. It's what you've said in your word, and I believe it. But Lord, today there could be somebody that doesn't know you as their Savior. They haven't claimed your free gift of salvation. Lord, I pray that they'll do that today before it's too late. That they will not let that gift go unclaimed in eternity. What a tragedy that would be. Lord, thank you for the baby that was born. We ask this in Jesus' name.